Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome back to the Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast. We are two games in to the URC season and already it's been a couple of terrible weeks for Scottish rugby, but also some good weeks for Scottish rugby. You just never know what you're going to get. Matt, 2 weeks in, are you loving the return of the URC?
It's been pretty good, to be honest. I think, obviously, Edinburgh going pretty good guns. And although Glasgow had that disappointing first week, there was a bit of a, a spring in the step in Scotland on Friday. So, you know, I think it's asking too much to expect two pro wins in any given weekend. So you'll take what you're given, really.
Yeah. Alan, is Scottish rugby back?
It never left. So
it's here.
It's always here. I don't know. I'm getting one concern about the URC is like some, the Italians and like a couple of the Welsh teams are like starting to look okay, which I don't really like.
The Dragons rolling Munster really shook me.
Yeah. And then like Zebra taking Leinster close, obviously Benetton looking pretty good. It's, you know, you've sort of like upped the ante with the SAFA teams, but you kind of wanted to keep at least some sort of fodder at the bottom, right? You don't want it all to be hard. So maybe Jay-Z knew what he was doing.
Yeah, maybe it is going to be the fantastic investment that they always thought it was. So we will get into obviously Glasgow's big win against Cardiff and Edinburgh's spirited loss on the road to the Bulls in a second. You can always follow us on Twitter, that's at Thistle Rugby Pod, and on Instagram, Thistle_Rugby_Pod. And the newsletter was back last week. That's on Substack. Get yourself subscribed on there, the Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast. You can find us on there. But why don't we dive into some news first and foremost? Obviously happening down in the English Premiership, but Worcester going into administration. But has a direct knock-on to some Scotland internationals, namely Rory Sutherland and Duhan van der Merwe. Alan, the SRU going to be trying to pick up some distressed assets from Worcester, do you reckon?
The Dodson master plan, you know.
This is it.
There was rumours that they were sniffing around, what was it, back in 2018, when what looks like increasingly the biggest bunch of jokers took over Worcester. One of them who wasn't allowed to be a trainee solicitor because his like record was so bad.
But really?
That's what they were saying.
I saw that he also tried to take over like Morecambe United and failed the fit and proper owners test. Worcester were like, oh, he sounds like a great guy to do business with.
I know. It's completely ridiculous.
So you think the Dodson master plan was the SRU were going to put in a good bid for Worcester. He got wind of this terrible bid and he's like, let's just leave it 3 years and we'll come back and clean up.
Pick up the ashes. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Worcester Reavers coming.
Worcester. But on a relatively serious note, I suppose it does leave, you know, Scotland internationals without a game this weekend.
100%,
or for any weekends coming up, I guess.
Obviously, Doohan's not going to have issues, but at the same time, you know, there is salary caps and a lot of clubs, both in France and England, have already tapped out, or at least will not have the space in their cap for someone like Doohan.
Not for Doohan, no.
And I guess,
is there a cap in France?
There's definitely some form of cap. I know there's always chat that it's like pretty easy to get around.
I suppose you've got in France, you need to have a minimum amount of French qualified players. So that potentially you build your squad around that. That doesn't necessarily leave room for a Doohan, for instance.
No, exactly.
Doohan will just get he'll get employed by Altrad and play rugby on the side or something like that.
No, I mean, I guess if it wasn't World Cup year, you could probably just ship him over to Japan and he would literally tear that league apart.
Oh my God.
But no, I guess I wonder whether you've obviously got those two, Finn Smith, and then was Murray McCallum on loan or was he there permanently?
I think he moved down permanently in the summer, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it would be nice to see. I mean, he's been getting good game time recently. But yeah, I wonder with someone like Rory Sutherland whether he just commands such a big wage as well that he might struggle to find a club. And I get the sense that the Scottish pro teams aren't exactly like that keen to take on those guys. I mean, maybe the SRU will step in and say, these guys are part of our World Cup plans. They need game time. We'll help you out a bit. But
yeah,
it doesn't seem like a sort of foregone conclusion.
With Schumann, there is just enough ample replacements that there just isn't a business case. There can't be a case for Edinburgh using money to sign Sutherland.
Yeah.
Glasgow maybe the other way, but I guess probably based on the performance of the weekend, it's probably not the pack the way you'd want to make that sort of investment. Probably maybe Doohan. Doohan would probably be quite a good option for Glasgow, to be fair.
We'd quite like to see that.
Yeah.
It would be quite cool, like seeing Doohan playing in Scotland again.
Maybe this is when the Old Glory bid comes through. Doohan and Suz are off to DC.
The SRU they've written down their investment in Old Glory. So maybe this is sort of a last ditch attempt to reinvigorate the there's a lot of sunk cost and Dodson wants it back. So they're gonna ship Doohan over to turn the tide.
It is an absolutely sorry state of affairs. And it'll be very interesting to see where all of the players, but particularly the Scots, end up in the coming weeks. It's a brand new situation, so we don't really know where that's gonna go. Other updates that came through today, I don't think it was a particular surprise to anyone who watched Glasgow at the weekend, but Rory Darge has had surgery on his ankle and he's going to be out for several months. Matt, big loss for the Autumn Internationals? Or do you think he was probably still just about on the bench for Scotland? Or do you think he really was sort of probably commanding a starting spot?
Well, Richie's obviously come back from injury and seems to looks like he's returned to form and fitness pretty sharpish, but I still think that Darge would have been pushing for a start in at least a couple of those games. So it's just such a shame. Like it seems as if since he's come on, a year ago, he's never really had a bad game for Glasgow or Scotland, and it's just like such bad luck. I think that with Richie back, Watson seems to be back to his best after a pretty decent summer tour. Like, I think we're lucky to have reasonable depth there, but it's
stick Bradbury in between the two of them.
Yeah. Bradbury, Dempsey coming into qualification. Like, we're actually reasonably stacked, but I think, that out and out seven, maybe Darge and Watson are the only sort of pure fetchers we've got, because even someone like Luke Crosby, who's playing seven for Edinburgh at the weekend, is more of that 6-7.
Yeah. And I think ultimately he was got to be minimum starting 23.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Even if he was on the bench, you sort of have Watson Rich to start. Such like a great player to sort of come off the bench and ultimately sort of seek out turnovers and, to be fair, make yards. Kind of sort of that sort of 5-10 meters just outside sort of the ruck. So, yeah, you know, going to see. But I guess the only sort of silver lining is it's not going to, doesn't seem like he's going to be out for like the World Cup, or at least he should be able to get a bit of some game time before the World Cup. It's not kind of one of these like full 12 month injuries, is the sense I get.
Yes, several months. I suppose you could maybe be knocking, you can interpret those and overinterpret that language as much as you want. You could see him back for at least some of the Six Nations, maybe the back end of the Six Nations if he's recovering well.
I know, now you just, because you mentioned it, Dempsey's an interesting one. Is he?
Yeah.
You think maybe ship him in at 8 at some point, or do you think is that 8 position just going to be Ferguson v Bradbury?
I think he's in the conversation 100%. And I think were it not for Bradbury seemingly having like an absolutely incredible start to the season for Bristol so far, it would have been probably Ferguson in pole position and then Dempsey as his backup. I think they'll want to cap him if they can, just because I imagine he might still be on the radar of Australia. And I think having like him, Ferguson and Bradbury in the mix ahead of the World Cup is a bit of a luxury, really, considering number 8 is maybe a position that we've struggled to fill in recent years.
Yeah. I think one of the issues with him around Australia is just he just doesn't have enough caps to be picked if he's still playing in the UK.
True.
But I know Dave Rennie was wanting to change that rule, or at least try and even further tweak it so he was sort of had a few more options. But no, I mean, we'll get onto it, but he is an absolute beast. He was so good against Cardiff the weekend.
It is bloody good. I think it was a couple of weeks ago, the Offside Line had a piece sort of, which didn't have that much new information in it, but it was just titled Jack Dempsey close to decision on potential Scotland switch. So he's obviously not fully made up his mind yet.
That is the sort of, like, no additional information, but that's the sort of headline that I'm clicking on every single day.
I mean, it's got 26 comments underneath it. People are just, that is the type of engagement that you need.
Yeah, a mix of like a massive fans and just sort of like a simmering of xenophobia. So it's like that perfect blend in the Offside Line comment section.
Well, it's certainly very, very interesting. But yeah, we should come on to talk about Dempsey because he was absolutely class at the weekend. Glasgow were back at Scotstoun on a Friday night, putting Cardiff to the sword, 52-24. Alan, I will come to you because I know you were watching it as well. How big a 7-day turnaround for Glasgow in terms of just performance, but also just that, I guess, like the feeling around the whole club?
No, 100%. And it wasn't like it was a particularly great start as well. I think even sort of the first 10-15 minutes, I was a little bit worried at what type of performance Glasgow are going to play. And ultimately, that, you know, it's not a terrible Glasgow team. But I think specifically the pack just really, really sort of stepped up. A lot of front football, even when Darge came off, to be fair, Tom Goran came on and was really, really good. And just a few of those kind of, both your kind of Scotland internationals, so whether it's Xander Ferguson, Scott Cummings, big performances, but then also people like, to be fair, Richie Gray probably had his best performance in a Glasgow shirt that I can remember. And there was just something you just haven't seen for a very long time. It's just like consistent kind of Glasgow forwards getting over the game line and just kind of like smashing through rucks. And then ultimately you see someone like George Horn, who I think the one thing we sort of found is when we're on the back foot a little bit, he's just not a particularly great 9 in that position. But when there's quick ball and we're on the front foot, he's one of the best scrum halves in the UK. And he sort of showed it with this kind of that, the kind of difference between his performance this weekend versus last weekend, which was pretty incredible.
I think it was kind of the same with Tom Jordan as well, for that exact same reason, that I think watching last week's game probably quite a lot of Glasgow fans would be thinking, you know, why are we playing this guy even ahead of Miotti, given he was struggling, but due to the fact that the pack was on the back foot. And I thought on Friday night with that front foot ball, he looked like a really like the sort of skillful player that he clearly has shown he is at Super Six. So yeah, that makes clearly all the difference.
I was trying to remember, was Tom Jordan like a proactive like Scotland acquisition, or is he just, do you think, is he just come over?
I think he's just come over.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he's, I could be wrong, I don't know if he's Scottish qualified.
I don't think he is either. So just interesting that he's clearly sort of come over from, what was it like, North Island, New Zealand. And I mean, yeah, as you said, especially in that first half before he got the yellow card.
I'm wrong, actually. He's, because he's been over here for quite a while, he is Scottish qualified next month.
Oh, interesting.
In October.
But he looked good. And interestingly, to the fact that they must have had him, Miotti and Duncan Ware fit in the squad, and they chose to stick with them after what was a bit of a middling performance last week, right?
I mean, that was after Duncan Ware came on and everyone was like, this guy, maybe, God bless him, might have to pack in.
He was a true hero.
All right, exactly.
Thank you for your service.
Exactly.
I'm on Tom Jordan's LinkedIn. Might connect. he's Tom Jordan rugby player, but his like banner photo is like a picture of like a Dow Jones like value chart. So he's playing.
Oh, nice!
He's put himself out there. He's letting people know that he's not just a rugby player.
So he's doing a bit of day trading.
Maybe he is doing some day trading. Yeah.
Going to get some like FX like marketing through his Insta page.
Was it not Jason Baggett who was like a crypto trader for a while? Maybe that's what, if you sign for a Super Six side, you're contractually obliged to sort of trade some sort of coin.
There was a wild time.
Ryan Wilson was quite into like NFTs, wasn't he?
Yeah,
he was.
I was going to say 6 months ago when that real NFT craze hit, I think there was quite a few rugby players who were sort of poking their nose around. I remember there was
interesting sidebar on Ryan Wilson. What's going on with him? Is he like not in the Glasgow frame anymore? Is he injured?
I don't think he's injured, but he was on the sideline at the weekend.
I saw on social media last week, he was, when Glasgow were playing Benetton, he was on holiday in New York. And I don't know whether that was for a particularly special reason, but it did seem a bit odd to me that he's obviously lost the captaincy now and then was away for the first game of the season.
Yeah. I mean, you think about it, we talk about that sort of like embarrassment of riches in the Scotland back row area. I guess maybe until the Scotland lads go away, even at a Glasgow level, maybe he is surplus to requirements a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
I think he has been for likely a while, right?
Yeah. Yeah, sorry. That argument was probably found a few years ago. I mean, alongside the Darge injury update, we talked a bit about Tom Jordan there, but Ross Thompson now back in training, Ollie Smith back in training as well. You know, what does this result actually tell us about Glasgow and where they are in their cycle and what, I guess, Franco Smith's trying to do with them, Alan?
I think it potentially tells us absolutely nothing.
thanks for your analysis.
I think ultimately you sort of look back to last season and Glasgow did have these types of performances in them, you know, whether it was like Exeter at home or, to be fair, even like the first 50 minutes of when they played away at Cardiff and they were blowing that Cardiff team like off the park until they ended up capitulating and losing. And I think probably my fear, and I hope this fear isn't realised, but my fear is that we're going to have similar situations to last year where we've got a team that on their day, and if the pack sort of fronting up, can blow teams off the park, but are ultimately pretty inconsistent and when they're on the back foot have got kind of a tendency to capitulate. So I think if I was putting my money somewhere, which given my sort of track record, isn't a particularly good idea. I could see them being relatively inconsistent, having some good wins, having some bad losses, and coming in probably similar sort of eighth, ninth, sort of fighting for that mid-table position.
Going down to the Ospreys at the weekend, Matt, fancy them for that?
Don't see why not. I think Ospreys have are the same 1-1, lost one. Oh no, that they've lost one, drawn one so far. Weren't great shakes last year. I mean, it's not an easy game, I think, particularly at the start of the season, but hopefully that Cardiff game like gives them quite a lot of confidence. I mean, I think the nice thing was it just seems as if like the players were sort of had a bit of a smile on their face. They were trying to play like the Glasgow way in terms of that quick tempo, moving the ball, which I just think is that does suit the players that they've got and the players that they've got to come back as well. So I think they should be reasonably confident going down there. And I think maybe Benetton start of the season with no meaningful preseason to speak of potentially just wasn't a fair reflection of where Glasgow are. And now we start to get a bit of a better idea of what they're all about.
Alan, give me some predictions. The next three for Glasgow: Ospreys away, Bulls at home, Sharks away. How many? What are Glasgow taking away from that?
So they've got Bulls at home, and then they're down in Durban.
In Durban, yeah. They then do a swing, Sharks and the Lions.
Oh, interesting. I guess you ultimately, before you go down to the South Africa, you got to be trying to get those two wins. Appreciate Bulls are a good team, but at home, still probably without a couple of players, you want to be sort of targeting that because it's going to be a struggle, I think, down in South Africa once those teams have got some of their internationals back. But yeah, I think they'll probably sneak the Ospreys this weekend, and then I think they'll probably struggle against those three SAFA sides.
I think they could win the home game.
Yeah, I just worry. Yeah, I know Edinburgh fronted up well, but man, the Bulls are horrible.
Yeah,
like genuinely terrifying when they get going. When they get kind of a bit of a head of steam and they just get runners kind of going, it's so difficult to stop. And I just wonder whether they'll struggle a little bit with that size and speed of that pack.
Well, should we talk a little bit about the Bulls then? With Edinburgh losing last minute, 33-31 to the Bulls. Alan, Mornay Steyn, how is he still a thing?
Yeah, well, I think it was Matt that actually said that comment, which I then stole and put on the Twitter feed.
I did, yeah. I didn't say anything about that. I didn't notice that.
I thought
it's been simmering now for a few years.
That's a nice assist. That's a nice assist.
Come on. I know. I didn't take personal credit.
No, teamwork.
I took group credit. Yeah. It's, and I mean, the thing is, ultimately, I think if we'd had a kicker of Mornay Steyn's quality, we're winning that match, because there was, I appreciate, to be fair, Bennett, from a conversion standpoint, did pretty well. Little weird thing this weekend, sort of conversion takers for both teams. Sort of quite strange watching George Horn take conversions and be really, really good at taking conversions, or just kicking, sorry. And then obviously Bennett was the main kicker for Edinburgh, which I know he did quite a bit of when he was at Ayr, but I haven't really seen him do it much for Edinburgh or Glasgow. And then, yeah, you had sort of Immelman doing some of the longer range kicking, but he was pretty wayward. but no, I thought it was a good performance. Van de Vaart came off injured. They were 15-0 down pretty early doors. Gilchrist went in the bin when I think it might have still been 15-0 down. So on to third choice 10, 40 men. It looked so hot at altitude away. And I think to kind of come back, put in that type of performance, obviously completely gutting sort of the way it ended, especially kind of having that chance to win. But I think that's the sort of performance that when you look back at sort of hopefully the end of the season and they've sort of done pretty well, you'll be like, that was actually a pretty great, pretty happy to take 2 points out of that.
Yeah, 100%. And Matt, we were talking about it a little bit offline. Sam Skinner looking like a awesome piece of business for Edinburgh.
Yeah, I mean, even without Skinner, the team just looks really strong at the moment. And I noticed that they've now sent out like Muncaster and Hutchinson, Cameron Hutchinson, to South Africa. It's just two like really nice players to have. You've got like Connor Boyle is like playing Super Six at the moment. And Skinner just adds like such a high level of ability and performance and like that sort of big game experience from Exeter as well. And yeah, just adds to like what is already a really strong pack. So yeah, it's a hell of an addition, really.
Yeah. And another non-controversial opinion, but Alan, how good is Darcy Graham looking?
The man looks good. Looks real good. I actually think it's sort of that the finish for, was it the first try where he just sort of, it's less of a step and more of like the arc round. Just sort of love it when a player sort of kind of like has that sort of balance to be able to kind of do that sort of change his direction at pace. But it was nice to see, and you know what, all the back three, obviously Darcy's getting sort of all the plaudits and completely rightly so, but actually Immelman is rock solid, and I know he missed the kick at the end, but his sort of ability to take down high balls and his boot in South Africa is just such an asset, especially when you've got sort of Darcy and Hoyland who potentially aren't the best kicking wingers. It's good to have someone that's like that reliable and got that weapon. So no, it was nice balance, and you know, great to see sort of Darcy just kind of continuing a lot of the form he had last year, right?
I think they would have won if Christine hadn't had to pull out injured. Impact sub might have got himself a little try, would have just instilled that confidence that they were going to take the win.
Yeah.
I think that was you know, losing the two standoffs wasn't great, but I think that was a real killer blow.
If King Befele had been there, we're cruising that match. He's 100% kicking that last pen.
Yeah, that's true.
Someone was saying he's in South Africa. the game they just had was in South Africa, so he could technically just kind of come stay around for the Stormers match if they wanted to ship him in.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, clearly he's probably like, I need a rest. He can't be serious. but I'm not sure what kind of the process is with those guys who play rugby championship, whether they'll have had a rest pre-rugby championship or whether they've got to have one now.
Because Kinghorn's out there as well, isn't he?
Well, yeah, because obviously he was originally meant to start, but then he got a stomach bug.
Yeah.
So hopefully he should be back for the Stormers on Saturday.
Oh, it's no rest of the wicked, is it? I mean, that's absolutely brutal. Like, second match, the Stormers look pretty good against Connacht as well, even without their internationals.
Yeah, I hadn't quite realised that it was like back-to-back URC finalists. It's kind of like, not only is it kind of the SAFA trip, but it's like probably the two worst SAFA teams that you could play.
They've then got Edinburgh, then got the Lions at home the following week. So
got you.
They take down all the SAFAs in one fell swoop.
But I think as you tweeted, Alan, I don't know if you stole it once again from me, but the fact that like...
Mate, you sound like a Scottish print journalist getting annoyed about people stealing content.
It's true, actually. I don't ever let me do that again. But like losing your two tens against the Bulls, getting those two bonus points, having a chance to win it at the end, the fact you've now got like Watson, Richie and Mata all back to fitness, like, and Skinner having his debut, it's a pretty good outcome, really, at the end of the day.
Are we ready to apologize to Bill Mata?
I you know what, I was literally about to say, I think it's early. It's a bit early. And he's not quite making the impact, but I think he's definitely doing enough for us to, well, for me specifically.
I thought he looked terrible. Yeah,
yeah, he's looking good.
I suppose it's just like it is. You forget how good he is and can be when he's at 100%. So even if he is operating at like 80, 85,
Yeah.
Like, he is just so good.
No, exactly.
I never thought he looked that bad. I didn't really understand the vitriol that you guys had for him.
Mate, when you're looking in the mirror...
Was it vitriolic?
No, it wasn't vitriolic, but I think the words terrible Nick were used behind closed doors. And I was like, I think he looks all right.
There were some photos that Edinburgh were putting out where he looked bad.
Yeah. I'm allowed to say, because I've also got a terrible Nick. So it's like not rude if you've also got it. But I think objectively, and also relatively to other rugby players, he was in pretty bad nick. Maybe not in comparison to like your average Scotsman, but I think on the spectrum of rugby players, not looking great at the time.
And I can't wait. Christmas time, urine fingers, Bill Matta taps you on the shoulder. It sparks right. You out.
I don't think Bill Matta could fit in fingers.
Yeah.
He'd have to, crane his neck.
He'd have to crouch down a little bit, yeah. But I mean, to drag us back onto something semi-serious, I mean, two games in, Edinburgh obviously had a very, very impressive win in round one and then a near miss against one of the better sides in the league. I mean, how impressed are you, should I say then, Alan, with, I guess, Blair's Babes round two?
Super impressed. And I think, there's still clearly like quite a lot to come. Ultimately, Kinghorn's not started a match. And your people like Wes Goosen and Befeli are still to sort of come into that back line. So I think sort of having that pack sort of probably dominating against the Dragons, at least in mostly parts getting parity with the sort of Bulls, I think the fact that you've kind of got a few other players to come into the back line to help kind of spark that, I feel like Blair's going to be pretty confident that they're going to make at least the playoffs. And should be challenging. Forgot about Haining to return as well.
Oh yeah, easy to forget about Nick Haining, isn't it?
He's always injured. I bet he'll be fit for the autumn international.
He'll start at 8 against the All Blacks.
Against New Zealand.
Everyone will be like, "What the fuck's going on, Tinny?" So Edinburgh sitting pretty, sitting in fourth, looking all right. They've got Stormers, Lions, Benetton, Zebra coming up as their next four. So two big games in the Scottish Italian Shield in October there to look forward to. Was there anything else we wanted to cover off? I've kind of gotten to the bottom of our the little agenda I'd written.
We're going to chat about the Bradbury Renaissance.
Yeah. Yes.
Man of the match. To be fair, I'm surprised. I'm very surprised how good Bristol have been. It does sound like Bradbury's been a massive part of that. He also looks a bit leaner.
Yeah, he does. He looks in great shape.
Yeah. Which
and me and you have got a keen eye for the shape of number eights.
Yeah, exactly.
As been previously proven in this podcast.
No,
he exactly. does look good.
So which is good, right? It did.
It's sometimes the sort of move is just right. He needed something new.
Exactly. Anything around the four? So Stirling Wolves still haven't won a match
since the rebrand.
Honestly, they've got a pie off, and I saw Ben Cairns is leaving at the end of the season, isn't he?
I think that was over the name change.
Yeah, he was
he'd had enough.
He's like, I can't abide.
Their points difference is like minus 200 or something.
Yeah,
it's pretty been a very bleak season.
Tough old gig.
Curse of the Wolf.
The curse of the Wolf. Sony bums up top again, which is it's tough to take.
Unsurprisingly,
I think kind of seems like that them and Ayrshire are probably going to be the top two.
I need to check back in with Super Six. Does it look good, Matt? You went to you've been to a couple games, haven't you?
I went to. It's difficult to keep track of Super Six because it seems to have been played about 10 times in the last 3 years. But like, you've got the main competition, and then you have like a sprint that happens over summer. But from what I saw, it was Sonians against Ayrshire. It looked like kind of professional-ish rugby in terms of it was bloody physical. I wouldn't say the pace of the game was that great, but I think the intensity was a step up from Premiership stuff. And I think it's a fairly decent product. I think that it's a shame that the Knights have tailed off as they have, and Stirling, because it seemed like even maybe a year or so ago, like each game was quite tight. Whereas now, the Knights are an easy win. And even Harriets are a bit, Stirling, obviously, Harriet's not as competitive as they have been. But it seems like they're producing some players for that higher level, though. Yep. Most of them seem to go to England. But
well, yeah.
The feeder league for the Championship.
Well, yeah. Patrick Harrison tearing out for the Irish in the Prem Cup.
And Logan Trotter.
Yeah. But no, it doesn't feel good that there's sort of that, it does appear to be that sort of gap between sort of the top four and the two, and for all three of the Edinburgh teams to be in that top four as well. It's not, doesn't feel like there's that sort of part of it that maybe the SOU were hoping for, in terms of they kind of sacrificed a bit of the geographical spread when they ruled out the Hawks. And now it just feels a little bit like the Southern Knights and Stirling just aren't quite there as they maybe once were.
Is Hawks an acceptable name? Is that right?
Well, that's got history.
What? The Hawk? The Hawk is synonymous with Glasgow.
Yeah.
I wasn't aware of that history. I'd like to read more about it.
Check back into it.
Yeah.
Great.
Right.
Well, thanks very much for listening. We'll be back, I think, and they haven't put out the media... they haven't put out the media thing yet, but we're getting close to a Scotland squad announcement for the November tests.
Yeah.
I think it might be next week. And then maybe that's a bit early. Maybe in the next couple of weeks.
Scotland women's match is a week. First,
yes.
World Cup match is a week on Sunday. Actually, because they're in the group with New Zealand, so it's like no one's going to get first in the group. But their first match is against Wales, who, whilst being slightly ahead of them in the group, are obviously... there's definitely an opportunity for Scotland to win. So it's kind of like that first match is really like it's win or you're probably not going to be going much further.
Yeah. And the gals have touched down in New Zealand, so we will be covering that as we go through. So keep an eye on our channels on Twitter at Thistle Rugby Pod, on Instagram, Thistle_Rugby_Pod. And in the newsletter as well, because we'll be covering it across them as well as discussing it on the podcast. Any other business, lads?
All good.
All good. In which case, we will chat to you very, very soon. Cheers.
Cheers.
See ya.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams.
And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.